will in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to read just a few small verses, renewing our commitment. 16, starting with verse 7. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effectual door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the word. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in the lives of our people, the lives of these children last week, Lord, and Lord, the families that are here, how they're being blessed. God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Paul is wrapping up his letters, and he gives them some practical advice here. He says, stand fast in the Lord. Folks, we need to stand fast in the Lord if we're going to make it through the trials that we have. Now, what I want us to focus on is the one verse where it says there's a great open door before us. A great open door, a fresh start, a new beginning in our life. Paul saw that achieving great things for God is possible. Every door that God opens for us is a door that we can go through to make a difference in people's lives. And I am convinced, and I want to know that my life has made a difference when I come to the end of my journey, my walk with Jesus Christ. I love that little song we sing back when we were children. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I serve Him, more love He bestows. Folks, that ought to be our desire, is to live for Jesus Christ, that He might be glorified in our life. That when we get to the end of our way, we will be able to come before God knowing that we have finished the course, like Paul said, finished our race that He has set before us. Now, what is the open door that God has set before us? Well, there's about seven things that we have to do if we're going to renew our commitment to Jesus Christ. Commitment. Committing ourselves firmly. I would hope that you would take advantage of the things that we have to offer in our church. We're good at programs. We're good at having programs. But if we do not take advantage of these programs and commit ourselves to them, then that's all they are. Just programs. The seminar on marriage for our young adults will do a wondrous thing in those lives if we will commit ourselves to do those things. So if we're going to stand firm and go through the doors that God wants us to open, we first got to make a new commitment to the Bible. If you're going to make a difference in your family's life, I preached to the men this morning. I'm going to talk to the whole family tonight and us as a church. If we're going to make a new commitment, a new start for this year, to walk through the doors that God has set before us, we've got to read the Bible. We've got to study it faithfully. We can talk about it. We can memorize it. We heard more children this year have learned memory verses than I believe ever before. But the most of all, we've got to heed the Word of God and obey the Word of God. Make it a part of our life. All Scripture, the Bible says, is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. How to live our lives right. How to live our lives in purity before God. That we might be victorious in our lives. I don't know about you, but if you don't make a commitment to read your Bible and study your Bible, you're not going to be able to take advantage or have the victory that God wants you to have in your life, in your family's life, in your church life. And then there's a commitment to pray. Oh, what a precious privilege we have in Jesus Christ if we will learn to pray. I don't know about you, but we need to learn to pray more than, now lay me down to sleep and pray to the Lord my soul to keep, or thank you, Lord, for this food. We need to learn to get in touch with God. Why do we sell ourselves so short? Why do we rob ourselves of being able to come boldly to the throne of grace? I don't understand it, but if we're going to make a difference in our Christian living, we've got to spend time on our knees in prayer. The old hymn, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." I see so many people each day, they try all the things they know to do. Have you ever been like that? You have a problem, and the first thing you do is, well, you turn to your wife, you'll turn to your husband, you'll turn to a friend, and we'll do everything that we know how to do to correct that problem. And we, if all else fails, then we turn to God. And God is the first place that we ought to turn to. The Lord is nigh unto all those who call upon Him. He wants us to call. If we're going to step through the doors this year as a church and as an individual, we've got to read our Bibles on a daily basis, and we've got to make a commitment to the Lord in prayer. And then if we're going to step through the doors that God wants us to step through, we've got to make a fresh commitment to the church. Now, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about God's church, the people. I hear people all the time say, "Well, preacher, we can worship at home, and praise God, you can turn on the television and there's all kinds of preaching there." But I think we need to support our church. The Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." And this is the church, and we need to make a commitment to it, and we need to live for it. Did you know we're the bride of Christ? His bride. And when He comes back, don't you want the church alive and well? Don't you want it pure? And we need to make it pure by the way we live. We need church. I don't know about you, but when I make it a week without going to church, it feels like a lifetime. Amen or oh me. Some people, they can miss church and they never really miss it. It's not a part of their life. But when you are focused in on the Word of God, when you're praying, when you commit yourself to walk with God in His church, you'll want it to be a church that's alive and well. So this year, be regular in attendance. Be regular in attendance. Be generous in your support. I'm not pushing for offerings. Be active in your participation. Man, I praise God for all the groups that we have here that are active in participation. You know, I wouldn't even had to show up this week. It was so well organized. When we have something, the ladies that are in charge, they take care of it. Man, that's good as a pastor that I know that, you know, I might be missed, but I'm really not needed. They took vacation Bible school, and they have run that thing and done so well at it. Praise God, they didn't even ask for any help. You know what? On Wednesday, we had the invitation day where we present the gospel. I didn't even know I was doing it until I asked Brother Bill on Wednesday morning. I said, "Hey, your wife has not asked me. Am I presenting the gospel?" He said, "I think you always do, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I planned for it anyhow." And you know, that's all right. Brenda, I didn't get my feelings hurt or anything. I said, maybe she has someone else that will do it. Hey, there's a lot of people that can present the gospel in our church, and I praise God for them. Man, it's not left up to me. I thank God not only that, we had people that they jumped in there and they furnished everything that we needed for the vacation Bible school. I thank God not only that, that when the plumbing went bad and everything else went bad, nobody was in a panic because they knew that everything would be taken care of. God's still in charge. Praise God, we've got a church that is a participating church. And I don't have to worry about all the little details. And the Bible says also we have a church that's filled with a spirit of unity and love. We have to make that kind of commitment in our life. And I pray this year that you will make that kind of recommitment. One to prayer, one to reading your Bible, and one to committing yourself to God's church. And then, folks, there's always that commitment to the Great Commission. Man, we need that commitment to the Great Commission. I was reading in the Baptist paper the other day, and I see where more young couples now that are surrendering their lives to the mission field this year than ever before. Man, that just tickles my heart to know that there's missions going on all around the world, and God is calling out young men and young women to go out into places that really are dangerous places, but they're accepting the call. And folks, if we're going to be committed to see that the gospel is preached to the whole world by the time the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we need the finances to do it. So don't give up on giving to missions. $900 in pennies. Let me tell you something. Brother Dove's car was loaded down out there. That car was sitting like this time he got all them pennies in the back. I was hoping, man, I hope that Honda's got strong shocks under the back end of it. If it don't, it'd never make it to the bank. But it did. $900-something worth of pennies these children supported missions with. And folks, I thank the Lord for our church making commitment. This church makes a commitment to give to mission dignity so that ex-pastors and ex-pastors' wives that have been left through a death of their husband that can still have a place to live in dignity with. You know, to buy their medicine, to pay their electric bills. I thank God for the Southern Baptist Convention who makes that a reality in every church is a part of mission dignity. And our church is just one of those churches out of the thousands of churches that have made a commitment to help people along the way, that have given their lives literally on the field to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've made a commitment to the Great Commission. The love of Christ must lead us to make that kind of commitment. Folks, we go around to every corner of the world. I got to talk to Zach today. He called and said, Happy Father's Day. And I just thank God that we have a part to evangelize East Asia. Oh, if we sit here and do nothing, we grow old and we fossilize instead of gospelize, evangelize. Jesus said to the church at Sardis, I know your works. And I thank God he knows the work of First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. He says, I know your works. You have a name that you live, but you're dead. I don't want him to say that about our church. I want him to say, I know your works, and you have a name that lives, and you're fulfilling that name. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We must make a fresh commitment as a church to evangelize the world. And then there's a commitment you have to make if you want to have victory in Jesus. You must make a commitment to clean living. Clean living. Purity. Now, before we make a commitment to better ourselves in the church, we've got to do something in our own lives. We've got to deal with sin in our life. Listen, the devil doesn't like you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy these precious little children here. He wants to get them out of church. And what we need is leaders, men and women in our families, like I said this morning, that will make a commitment. I will live a pure life for Jesus Christ, that my children might see that kind of life. I never heard, and I don't believe my wife ever heard my father say one cuss word. Never in his life that I know about did he say one ugly word. And you know what? Those ugly words are not in my mouth either. I wonder why. You do what you see your fathers do. Children do exactly what they see their parents do. And listen, if we make a commitment to live pure, they will live their lives that way. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Bible says we will not be blessed. But if we live according to God's holy word and we put God first in our life, we'll be blessed. That's a promise from God. So make a fresh commitment in your life to read the Bible, to pray, to commit yourself to church, to live a clean, pure life, and then commit yourself to your family. This is Father's Day, and I thought, you know, what better day to talk about living a good commitment to our family? Did you know that your family is a blessing from God? I watched all these little children. I know you were proud of them, weren't you? Oh, you ought to be. I can see them up there. I had two, my own grandchildren, and one of them's got that, he's got that restless leg syndrome. But you know what? I'm proud of them. I'm proud of every one of them. They are a blessing from God. And folks, they ought to be a blessing to God when they grow up. And this commitment is important to any of the others I've mentioned. We've got to make a commitment to our families. Listen to what it said. Husband, love your wife and give honor to her. Listen, men, that's your duty. That's a commandment from God. Ephesians 5:25 says, you are to love your wife and give honor to her. If you will do that, your children will see that, and they will also give honor and respect to your wife. Listen to what it says. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Man, you know, you shouldn't have a problem with, we don't like that word submit, do we? But we don't have a problem with it if we're in Christ Jesus. If we're living for Him, if we've made that kind of commitment, I'm going to treat my wife as a queen, and she's going to treat me as a king, because we love each other as unto the Lord. We love God. Now, children, honor and obey your parents. Let me tell you something. I said this morning. I didn't want to do anything in my life that would bring dishonor to my father, because he loved me so much. He did all he could to see that we had food on our table. He did all he could to see that we had clothes to wear. He did all we could to see that we were in church every Sunday morning with the best we had. And I thank God that he did that. And I don't want to do anything that would dishonor him. He's dead and gone, and still I don't want to dishonor him. You see, we ought to honor our father and our mothers. And listen to what it says. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. You know what we're missing in our homes today? We're missing family time. We're missing family time. Quality time is not running off to a ball game and hollering and yelling. I think quality time is when you can take your son by the hand or daughter by the hand and take them out for an ice cream cone and tell them how much you love them and spend some time with them. You know, I know we like to do what we like to do, don't we? But spend some quality time with your children and love and cherish your wife and one another, and I guarantee you, your family will grow stronger in the Lord, and it'll grow sweeter in the Lord. Now, the last thing I want to say is make a fresh commitment to God. And this is the most important of all. What is the chief end of man? That is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To glorify our Father which is in heaven and enjoy Him forever. I don't know about you, but I want to make a fresh commitment to God. Seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. How many of us really seek to worship God in prayer? We ought to do that every day of our life. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's a Monday morning thing, a Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're to love God with all our heart and make a commitment. And on Sunday, it's a day of rest where we just take off and worship God and give Him praise for the whole week. Abide in Christ, the Bible says. That means literally to dwell in Christ and be continually filled with the Spirit of God. Remember, Paul said something, there are many adversities or adversaries. We're seeing it in our society today. We're seeing it in our churches today, our homes, our schools, our government. There's all kinds of pitfalls. There's all kinds of enemies. There are all kinds of things that will keep us from worshiping and walking with God on a daily basis. One, the main one, is the devil. He is real. Don't think he's not out there. If you make these commitments to God this year in your life, the devil's going to come at you with all his forces. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion that walking around seeking whom he may devour. And folks, we have to be aware that he's everywhere. He's all around us. And when something comes our way, we've got to make a choice. We've got to realize, is this from God or is this going to cause damage? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't delay in doing that. Waste time will keep you away from God. Oh, we always try to find something else to do, seems like. Thinking you're helpless, saying, I can't. Jesus says, I can through you if you'll let me. And thinking nobody else is. That isn't true. There are plenty who have committed themselves to God. There are plenty that have committed themselves to the church. There's plenty that have committed themselves to evangelize. There are plenty that have committed themselves 65 years to marriage. Why not you? Why not you? Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, man, that's a lot. That's a whole lot, preacher. I don't know if I can do that. You've got to make that first initial commitment. And that first initial commitment is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. if you've never received him as Lord and Savior, then you're not going to make it until you do that. Until you come to the point where you say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I need Christ as my Savior, and I'm willing to commit my life to you. You make that commitment first. That first step is salvation. You're here, and you're thinking, well, you know, I've been saved. I know that. I've been doing. But you're right. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray like I should. I don't go to church like I should. I don't spend time with my family like I should. I don't evangelize like I should. I'm not committed to God like I should. Tonight, the door is open. The door is open. God just opened it to you. All you have to do is make that commitment right now. I will commit myself to God first and foremost. Paul says, press on. Press towards the mark of the high calling. If you will commit yourself to the Word of God, prayer, the church, I'll never get all of these, family, gospel, Christ, you'll never be sorry that you did. You'll never be sorry for giving God your life. If you refuse, you'll never be happy, because we were made to worship God. We were made to have fellowship with God. And you can't do that without coming to Him and surrendering your life to Him. Would you come tonight? Let us pray, and then we'll give an invitation, and then we'll be dismissed. But if you need to make a decision in that invitation, you may be here visiting. It's all right. If you're visiting, that's fine. Come down and make that commitment to God. You may have had a child in Vacation Bible School, and you come to see the program. That's all right. You can still make a commitment to God. You don't have to join this church. I'm just asking you to make a new commitment to God. You go back and tell your pastor, I've made a commitment to God this year. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you touch our lives in so many ways. God, this year, may we make a commitment to you. Lord, may we might live for you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.